Hello and welcome to the Week 7 review for the NFL season from First and 10. I'm Ollie, once again joined by Dave. Dave, how are you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Another week of the NFL under the belt and a few disappointments, few games that were a bit closer than we didn't expect. So be interesting to look back on and another exciting week.
Yes.
And once again joined by Miles. Miles, how are you doing, mate?
Buzzing. The Patriots won, even though, you know, tanking, whatever, but it was fun. I actually had fun watching us for the first time in a while. So, yeah, good.
Well, yeah, I guess in some ways, you know, Giants and Patriots finally won. I guess it's somewhat positive week, although, you know, given circumstances, maybe not. But I guess we'll get to that when we get there. We'll start with the Thursday night game, Jaguars at the Saints. Was it maybe a bit closer than we expected, Dave?
Maybe. I felt the Jags were a much better team. You know, I think it, I don't, to me it felt like they were in control, even though the score maybe looked closer. It never felt like the Saints were going to win it to me, but yeah, I mean, 31 points. I think the Jags are starting to look a little bit better again. I think they're picking up a bit. But yeah, I don't know, the Saints feel a little lost to me. I don't really know what the... So even though they were in it, you know, it was, what, 24 apiece that would go in, sort of into the back end of the fourth quarter. But I don't know. The Jags just felt like they were better the whole way through, even though the scoreline maybe didn't reflect it. It was one of them weird games where, yeah, I'm not really sure what the Saints are offering. Like, would they get 9 points in the first three quarters or something like that, wasn't it? I think they had a lot going into that final quarter and then sort of come alive a little bit, but I don't know. It just looks, I think you're probably a bit worried if you're a Derek Carr fan. He doesn't look particularly good. He doesn't look like he's got much of a connection with his receivers. I don't know. He just looks a bit lost there and I'm not really sure where the Saints go. They feel like they're a bit dead, really, but I'm 3-4 is not the end of the world, but yeah, the Jags. I think Jags are pretty impressive, but they almost let one slip. I think here.
Well, it's almost difficult to know what to expect from the Saints on a week-to-week basis. They've got Taysom Hill will either have a massive game or do absolutely nothing, and you just obviously Alvin Kamara seems to be the sort of main bit of consistency there. But yeah, and the receivers sort of average.
Well, Arve, he got arrested last night or something. Yeah. So yeah, he might be missing some time. They might be down their number one receiver.
Oh, I actually hadn't seen that.
Was it a DUI or something? I don't know what he... I can't remember.
I think
what it
he was speeding. I think he was going 35 miles an hour over the speed limit wherever he was. So.
I thought you were going to say he's doing 35 miles an hour. Crazy. Yeah.
Reckless operation of a motor vehicle.
105 and a 70, that's what it's doing. So, yeah, wow. Not great, but, you know, we've all done it, haven't we? We've all been there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit...
It
sounds like the kind of thing that famous people don't get away with. So I'm sure we'll be back on for next week. Move on to the game that we were sort of hyping up a bit. Unfortunately, Ravens kind of ran away early. And Lions didn't ever really look like they were in it. Miles, what does this mean for both teams, do you reckon?
This was obviously the week I started Jared Goff in fantasy, wasn't it? But yeah, Lamar just, honestly, it's like every week, it's like I'm a bit more confident in the Ravens. And I think considering the Lions sorted out their defense this season quite a bit, the Ravens cooked them. Like, the Ravens looked unstoppable. It's like every time they got the ball, it just felt like, right, touchdown drive coming. Yeah, Lamar dropping back to pass was brilliant. Lamar rushing was good, didn't need to do it as much, still managed to get 36 yards on the ground. Yeah, I just think they were just they just looked fantastic. So, yeah, I'm sold on the Ravens now. Like, I wasn't. They needed to do a bit more for me to be like, yeah, they're a genuine contender, but they looked legit. And to beat Detroit looks solid. Detroit beat the Chiefs, you know. To beat Detroit takes some doing, and yeah, Ravens look really good.
Well, in particular, the you know Lions have had a pretty good run defense throughout the season so far, and that was exactly what the Ravens went after.
Yeah, did like so successfully. 150 yards, something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
to it.
I guess that's one of those.
Yeah.
I guess it's one of the points in the game where, you know, you expect there to be sort of head to head, and it's very surprising that the Ravens just sort of absolutely obliterated them.
Yeah, so, thought it was going to be a bit of a shootout, maybe, but no, not even close.
Bit of a shame, but you know, I guess there was plenty of other games to look forward to. Unfortunately, move on to another one where the Bears beat the Raiders 30-12. Although I, you know, definitely interesting one to watch for Tyson Bagent having the game of his life. Division two Heisman winner, apparently.
I mean, they didn't mention that too much, did they, on Sunday?
Yeah.
Every time the game cut to it, Scott Hanson came up with that one, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, it's sorry, what division is he from again? Just, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, is Tyson Bagent the real deal, Dave?
Yeah, 100%. No doubt so about it.
Just get rid of Justin Fields, I reckon.
Exactly. Fields is done. Maybe they'll convert him to running back or something. Yeah, Bagent is the future in Chicago, I think. But no, he played quite well. You know, for a backup coming in for his first proper game, it was, yeah, I thought it was pretty impressive. But I think it was more about, you know, Foreman had a pretty incredible game. It felt like, I don't know if he's just gone up against the Raiders or what, but it felt like they looked like a proper offense, didn't they? Which was quite strange. We haven't really come to see that with the Bears, but I mean, I don't think there's any worries about Fields. But yeah, Bagent showed that, I mean, there's people that have built careers off sort of one or two good games coming in as a backup, haven't they? So, you know, Nick Mullins over the years, he got plenty of jobs off a couple of good games. And, you know, Bagent might have just earned himself a few million just off this one game. So, yeah, pretty impressive from him.
Yeah, of course, Gardner Minshew being enough on them. But, yeah. I mean, he did a decent job this week. It came very close. In the end, losing by 1 point to the Browns. It was very much the Browns' defense, in particular Myles Garrett, that really won this game, wasn't it, Miles? It was a very impressive performance. Although, I guess they sort of had to take Deshaun Watson out at a point to stop him from hurting the team as much. And they literally just went, yeah, no, we'd rather stick with PJ Walker. And it seemed to work for them.
I would argue that the Browns' defense didn't win it. I think it was the Colts' defense lost it. The Browns defense allowed 38 points. And look, I know you're going against Gardner Minshew, but you know, even he's not that good.
There's only so much you can do.
You know, yeah. Summer. Like, come on. Like, look, I like Minshew a lot, but he is not good enough to carve up the Browns defense like that. Like, I think, you know, the Browns got very lucky that Indianapolis, just for whatever reason, have an almost as porous defense that day. But yeah, I just thought that, you know, I mean, on his own, you know, in isolation, Myles Garrett was just phenomenal. Oh. But there was, you know, quite a leaky defense there. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor racked up 75 yards, Moss 57, you know, so they ran the ball really well. Minshew, two rushing touchdowns, you know.
Three fumbles.
So, yeah, three fumbles. But, you know, he, you know, 305 passing yards, two passing touchdowns.
It is mad they stayed in it, considering, four turnovers he had in the end? Like, it was pretty mad.
No,
three.
One and interception, three. Yeah, four. Yeah, shit. Yeah.
Well, five if you include the block kick.
Yeah. Like, it was a crazy game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an absolutely crazy game. Josh Downs decided to show up that week. And yeah, it was just, I thought it was insane. But I'm worried about what are the Browns doing this season now? Because they beat the Niners without Watson. And now they've won another game without Watson. Granted, it wasn't as impressive, but you know, Walker didn't even look that good. It's almost as if they don't actually need a good quarterback to win because their ground game's solid and they've got a good defense. So obviously Deshaun Watson is a starter going forward, but I would be a bit like, why did we give up this much if we don't actually, you know, he's not, because he wasn't the difference. So
there was some really weird talk after the game as well from like Watson and like coach. It was all a bit strange. It seemed like he could have gone back in, and that's what's bizarre about it, isn't it? He could have gone back in, and it feels like they just kept him out, which is sort of quite strange, really. It wasn't I don't know. They were protected, like I said, but it all seemed a bit weird, and there's something a bit strange going on, I think, but I can't quite
feel like
work out what
maybe
that is.
They just wanted to prevent him hurting himself more, but at the same time, they were like, look, we're not actually getting destroyed out there with Walker at QB, even though he completed less than half his passes and threw a pick.
But they said he was going to play this week. But playing this week, like, it couldn't have been too bad if they've, like, you know, straight after the game, they say, oh, yeah, it'll be fine for next week sort of thing. It couldn't have been anything too serious. So, yeah, it was a bit of a strange...
calculated risk.
Yeah, a bit of a strange thing. But, you know, hopefully it'd be quite funny if there's some sort of weird shit going on with Deshaun Watson, wouldn't it, really? But, you know, it's what can you do?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because he cleared concussion protocol. And it did look like when he went down, he was holding his shoulder a bit. So maybe there was a bit of that as well. They didn't want to risk him re-injuring the shoulder.
It was just to me that they said he was definitely going to play next week, and like he could have gone back in. It just felt a bit. It couldn't have been anything too serious.
I mean, it is very interesting. The quarterback they sold their soul for seems to be the one. The game is very interesting turn of events for the Browns. We'll move on to the Patriots. Of course, they managed to beat the Bills. I mean, that's pretty incredible, to be fair. Max Jones, 25 of 30, 272 yards and 2 touchdowns with no interceptions. Quite a game from McCorkle. Dave, do you have anything to say about him?
He genuinely was. This is one of his best games, probably in the last two seasons. I thought he was really good, and down the stretch he was really good, which is nice to see him. Like, I finally come around to just going all in on the tank. The Bears win, the Giants win. I'm thinking, oh, here we go, creeping up the draft order for next year, and then pull out the win in the end. So like, it was my ideal game, other than the fact we actually won it in the end. I think I was quite happy to lose, but. It was nice to just watch the Patriots and not just be depressed every series. Yeah. And it was like they just actually looked, for the first time in maybe all year, they looked like they had a bit of fight in them. You know, they looked like a team that was actually, I'm not saying they weren't trying to win. It was just nice to watch a game. I think that's it. It was just fun to watch. There was, you know, Kendrick Bourne had a good game. Demario Douglas had a good game. Ramondre probably had his best game of the season. Even the numbers weren't amazing. It felt like he just played a bit better than he has done. It was just,
six
it was just
catches,
nice.
51 yards for Ramondre, so pretty solid numbers.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good to watch the Patriots for the first time this year, which, you know, got to take though when you can, when the team's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, from what you said, just very similar feelings to what I'm feeling about the Giants this week. I mean, as miserable as the season it's been, and you should absolutely be wanting to tank, it is just nice to see your team win. And it's, you know, one of those, you're never going to be able to go, okay, let's just tank, let's lose every single game by as much as we possibly can. Because you just don't want to see that every week, do you, Miles?
No,
it was, the thing is, for me, it was just, last season I said, defensively we're solid and we run the ball well. And I feel like we kind of saw that last week. We lost this week. I think, oh my God, like we're actually, you know, we're running the ball. Not great. I think we were better last week, but the defense was really solid. Like I had confidence very early on in the defense. Like by the second quarter, I was like, do you know what? I don't think it's a given that Josh Allen just gets the ball and goes downfield here. Like I don't actually think they're going to get past us. And it took them until, you know, the third quarter before they scored a touchdown. So I actually felt really confident watching our defense play, which I haven't all season. And yeah, I think we just did enough on offense. Mac Jones had a good game. Like he kept it going, kept the team on pace and just about did enough with his arm to get the ground game just to be usable. Cause I don't think it was great. But yeah, it was just an all-round good team. It was a great team win. That's what it was. It was a great team win. Like every aspect of the game, everyone who needed to step up did. And yeah, really good.
Well, speaking of great teams and wins, the Giants also beat the Commanders this week. 14-7. I mean, it's one of those, I guess the offense did as much you can expect from it. It's one of those, you see Tyrod Taylor, he's willing to take a deep shot, which
he was
think,
fine, he was good.
Well, this is the thing, is like, it, as even if he is good, he's still Tyrod Taylor, there's still a limit to
yeah.
But it's just, like, you know, the main criticism of Jones this season, and you could say, obviously, you could say the offensive line's been very injured and the receivers haven't been great. But I think there is still a valid criticism of Jones this season where he hasn't been willing to take the deep shot and he has been playing it quite safe. And Tyrod Taylor actually wanted to do that. And he, you know, had a few like decent balls down to Hyatt. We finally saw a bit of that speed. Wandale Robinson as well saw a bit of him. And it's just one of those, you just want to see these young players, Thibodeau being another one, where you just, like, there's so much talent there. And it's the thing is, Robinson only actually had one catch and Hyatt only had two. But it's like, it just feels...
Getting them involved is important, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you see something from them and what they could be capable of. Unfortunately, got a bit too excited about Kadarius Toney not that long ago, so, you know, don't want to get too overexcited with that. But, yeah, it's just nice to see them. And obviously, there was a terrifying moment where Saquon Barkley looked like he might have dislocated his shoulder. Just I guess he just popped it back in and carried on. yeah, I mean, that was and that's the main thing, is like, you just don't want big injuries. Like, as much as you want to see this team grow and learn, there's nothing worse than a career-ending injury in this season, which will amount to nothing. Like, let's face it, we're 2-5. Like, maybe we'll win a few more games. There's no way the playoffs are realistic. So, no, yeah, no, just stay healthy, just, please.
Yeah, not happening.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the Falcons at the Bucks. I mean, there's a tight one. Obviously, division matchup, always sort of a bit unpredictable for whatever reason. Decent performance by the Falcons defense, I think. And I mean, to be fair, obviously, you know, 16-13, it's not a particularly high scoring game. So both defenses did relatively well to limit the scoring there. But yeah, obviously, like, Desmond Ridder, he sort of does enough here to not throw the game away, Dave. Is that kind of how you saw it?
Well, I mean, he had three red zone. They all fumbles in the end. I think they were, weren't they? Where he turned over in the red zone. I think they're all fumbles in the end, including the one when he was basically in for a touchdown and then got knocked out, which in fairness was a great play but from the defender. But it was a weird game, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, Ridder did enough, I guess. He sort of looked okay at times. It was just, you know, in the big moments, it came up a bit short, really. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big win for the Falcons. I think this probably makes them favourite for the division now, which, you know, I'm not sure. I think if the Bucks won this, then I might have had them sort of clear of the other teams, really. But it just feels like a division destined to be won with sort of about 8-9 wins, doesn't it? It's neither team looked good, but as I say, the Falcons' defence, I think, has looked pretty good all year. I think they're just a good, solid defense, really, which is nice if you're the Falcons. Probably can take you however far they need to go with this team, but it's still just depressing to watch Arthur Smith just ruin these players. I know Drake London had six catches, but you know, it's not great, is it, really? And obviously Bijan just sat on the sideline. Which
they're getting in trouble.
It was a headache or whatever, wasn't it? Was it a headache or something like that? I can't remember.
Apparently,
it was.
The NFL giving them a talking to, because you're meant to report that on your injury report. Like, because he felt like that the night before. And so that should have gone on the injury report or something like that. So
it was, I imagine that killed a few fantasy teams this week, that's for sure. But yeah, it was a strange one, but. Yeah, the Falcons got it done, and I think that's all that matters to them at the moment, because I just don't really know what this whole division is. I don't really know, like, sort of almost what's the point of them all. Like, one of them's going to be in the playoffs, but One of them's going to be in the playoffs and probably get beaten handily in the first round by, like, the Cowboys or whoever it may be, or the 49ers or something. You know, it's just going to be... Not the 49ers. Yeah, Cowboys or Lions. Yeah, maybe, yeah. The way it's going, yeah, true. But, yeah, it just feels like they're just a team being set up to just get battered in, you know, whatever the worst slot on that first weekend of the playoffs is going to be. They're just a, yeah. Like, I feel like we could just sort of stop talking about this division and no one would really notice. It's, they're just a bit nothingy, which is awful with some of the players. Like, even just on this, on like both these teams, you know, you've got some very fun players on both sides of the ball for both teams, but they're just a bit, well, I don't know, forgettable, which is probably the worst place to be.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like whoever wins this division is pretty much fodder for the Cowboys to just get an easy first-round win and then straight into another disappointing loss when they actually play a good team, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It'll be the same as always. And then we'll move on to the NFC West, a slightly more interesting division. Got the Seahawks beating the Cardinals 20-10. And again, I mean... The Seahawks look quite decent, to be fair. I mean, it's just very heavy on the run game. And obviously the Cardinals, we're not expecting much from them in particular. They put up a bit of a fight, but you know, Seahawks, I feel like they're pretty comfortably the better team here, aren't they, Moss?
Yeah, I think they're really sticking to the whole ground and pound philosophy, and it's working. Walker had 105 yards on 26 carries. Like, you know, I mean, granted, Charbonnet was out, but yeah, they ran, including Geno Smith, they ran the ball 32 times. That's what they want to do against a team like the Cardinals, who don't, I mean, granted, they've been a bit better than we thought they would be, but they don't pose that much of a threat, so you can just run the ball that much. But yeah, otherwise, outside of the running game, really good to see JSN rack up 63 yards. He was the top receiver. Jake Bobo was there with over 60 yards as well. So yeah, Geno spread the ball about, got his young guys involved. Yeah, thought it was just a really well-rounded performance from them. Defensively, they got a couple sacks as well. So yeah, just looked like they were the better team. They didn't really have to do a lot or dig deep to get the win. Just, yeah, another great team win, really.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Bobo, just the latest addition to the list of great names in the history of the NFL. I mean, it's just, how do they come up with these? It's true. I've never seen them anywhere other than America.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels like there's every week there's another name that you've never seen anywhere before.
There's some good ones coming through next year as well, isn't there?
Yeah, oh, I can't wait.
Kool-Aid, isn't there, and stuff. Yeah,
Kool-Aid McKinstry, General Boothie. Yeah.
There's some good ones.
I'm sure there's a great... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Marzi.
What?
Oh, he was just saying a name.
Yeah, Dude Person, that's his name.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, yeah. I thought I disrupted you there. But yeah, I'm just saying, I'm sure I'm ignoring the great lineage of the Bobo family.
Yeah, but, probably.
It's the first time I've heard of it, and it's a brilliant name. It's incredible stuff. We'll move on to the Steelers and the Rams. Somewhat of an upset here, Dave. I mean, obviously, the Rams are starting to look on the way up. Steelers, they sort of seem different, depending on whichever week it is. Do you see much from here to think maybe the Steelers are better than what we've previously seen of them?
Honestly, I don't think so. They feel a lot like how everyone sort of felt about the Vikings last year, where they look a bit rubbish. You know, you watch them, you don't really know how they've done it, but then they just seem to come away with the win. Like, I don't really know how this happened. To me, like, watching the game, it felt like the Rams were the better team pretty much the whole way through, and then just fourth quarter, the Rams just sort of... I don't know, just gave it up a little maybe and just didn't really get anything done. You know, they had two drives in that fourth quarter, both of them just sort of pretty quick punts were, you know, not really got anything on it, which, you know, this Rams offense has been pretty good, but I guess you have to put a lot of the credit on the Steelers defense for that, and then Kenny Pickett and the offense getting it done. But they just don't feel very good to me, the Steelers, you know, like just watching them they just don't feel like a good team. And at 4-2, it's hard to argue with that, but they feel like at some stage they're going to go on a bit of a losing run. I just don't see how they end up winning more than like 8 games. But maybe, you know, we do have these teams every year. You know, the Vikings last year, some would say the Giants as well, but, you know, I wouldn't be one of them. But it was, you know, we have these weird teams, but they just feel like a bad team to me, the Steelers. I don't feel like they're a 4-2 team. It just looks weird next to their name, that 4-2 record.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange. It does look and feel like a trap. And when it looks and feels like a trap, it probably is a trap. They're definitely... It's one of those, because you still expect the Bengals to recover at some... Like, we've seen flashes from the Bengals of what we expect from them. So I guess you'd expect they will be coming back at some point. You certainly don't consider them favourites for the division at this point, but it's just that it is very strange. They're kind of right there with the Ravens. It's a very strange place to be at the moment. And we'll move on to the Packers at the Broncos. Miles, we heard Ash talking in the preview about how the Broncos were going to win this because of the sort of... Well, it's a mile above...
Altitude.
Altitude, thank you. I don't know why I forgot that word for a second. but yeah, because of the altitude, difficult to breathe. The Packers, obviously, Broncos slightly more used to it. Do you think that played a part here, or are the Broncos just a slightly better team, even if that's pretty insignificant for these two?
I think Jordan Love is low-key overrated. I think he looked really good to start with, and I think that's because our expectations are really low. So even I was guilty. I was like, oh my god, he looks great, but that's because I expected him to do absolutely nothing, right? So in reality, he looks mediocre, and I think we're kind of just seeing that, like, he doesn't, you know, the Broncos defense has been pretty terrible all season, and he couldn't push his offense down the field to score more than 19 points. And I think that is bad. So, yeah, I think, you know, 180 yards and a pick. Granted, he scored 2 touchdowns. But, yeah, they got the ground game going to a decent level. But both sides did that. Javonte Williams popped off a bit for 82 yards. McLaughlin was really good as well. Russ had a 21-yard scamper. So, yeah, just everyone was running the ball really well. But when it came down to it, Jordan Love couldn't quite get his team there. Whereas I actually think that was one of the overall best performances we've seen from the Broncos this season, even though they only scored 19 points. I think, you know, they're 2-5, but that was really impressive. So well done them, because they have looked bad. And this was, I'm not saying they're turning it around, but that's a good thing to build on. And then next season you go again, if you can just do that a few more times, get some momentum, and then with their draft capital, we'll see where they go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't feel like either of these teams are particularly going anywhere this season. I guess it'll be interesting to see if they do, what direction they do decide to end up going. Obviously, the Packers, you'd probably expect them to stick with Jordan Love for at least another season. I guess the same with the Broncos and Russell Wilson. I mean, both of those situations seem like you've probably got to give them another year at least. But you should see how they do both move forward. Move on to one of the team who doesn't quite look there. I mean, so the Chargers lost pretty comfortably to the Chiefs, it felt like. For a lot of the game, it was only one score, but it never really felt like the Chargers were going to come back and win the game. Dave, did you see enough from the Chargers here to make you think there is a title fight in the AFC West, or have the Chiefs got it pretty much wrapped up now?
It feels like you can pretty much pencil the Chiefs in as winners of this division now. I just don't know what the Chargers are, where they go from here. It's hard to really put your finger on what's really gone wrong for them. They make mistakes at the wrong times. They seem to, you know, when they really need to do something, you know, the fourth quarter on Sunday. They went punt, 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 interception. It's, you know, it's like, this is supposed to be a great offense. It's supposed, you know, they've got Kellen Moore in there, who's supposed to be supposedly like a great offensive mind. I don't think they look any better than they have in previous years, really. You know, you've got Justin Herbert, who I think we said in the preview last week, I think he's no doubt a top, I think most people have him in their top five. And it, even if it's not that, it's top six or seven. You know, I think there's not many people that have him any lower than that. And I think a lot of people would have him actually sort of somewhere near the top, but they just don't get it done when they really need to. And I think that has been a problem for a long, long time with the Chargers. And, you know, we're going back other quarterbacks, including like Philip Rivers a lot of the time, you know, plenty of other coaches, like other cities, you know, like it's just what this franchise is. I think they're just a team that when it really matters, they're going to come up short. It just feels like that. And, you know, another time this season when they've scored no points in the second half, it's just not good enough for a team that is supposedly what they are. You know, the Chiefs only scored seven, but they got it done. They got the job done and they got the win. The Chargers just, I don't know. I'm not even sure they're a good team anymore. You know, you look at the players, they should be. You look at the coaches, they're supposedly good coaches. I'm not convinced that this team is going anywhere. And say Ash spoke about a lot on the preview podcast last week that, you know, they've sort of gone all in when you look at their spending and, you know, got some cap issues coming up. If it's not this year, then I don't know. I don't know what this team looks like next year. I would be surprised if it's got the same head coach. At this stage, like Staley, I think, was in trouble a little bit last year. And then, you know, he sort of turned it around a bit towards the end of the season. They're going to need to do similar here, I think, to have any real chance of keeping his job. Because I think even like a first round playoff loss might not be enough for these, for them now, just with what the team that they've got there, sort of what they've invested in this team. And yeah, they're a team that's sort of built to win now and they're just not looking like it on the field. I really worry about the Chargers, but I mean, the Chiefs, they don't necessarily look amazing again. I mean, Patrick Mahomes he looked good. He didn't look incredible, like 424 yards, four touchdowns, you know, just, it was the most casual 400-yard, four-touchdown game you'll see, really. Kelce, 180 yards. It's just, it looked very easy. It's sort of strange. Yeah. I don't really just come to expect it from. Yeah, it felt so easy, but I don't know. Losing to the Chiefs, there's no big issue of losing to the Chiefs. I just think it's how it happened. So that, I said, that fourth quarter is just, it's awful from a team that, like, should be better than this. You know, they had, what's this, 31 yards on the last drive when they got the interception. But before that, 5, 8, 8 yards on the three punts. It's rubbish. It's absolutely awful. It's rubbish. It's not like this Chiefs defense is incredible, is it? You know, they're fine, but they're not, you know, they're not some real force. And they've got 21 yards on 12 plays to start the fourth quarter. That's dreadful.
That's a disgrace.
It really
especially
is.
Especially from an offensive coordinator that was so highly touted. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
I think that's my issue, that they've got Kellen Moore, who personally, I didn't rate that highly at the Cowboys compared to everyone else. And I think he hasn't showed anything here to make me think any different. I don't know. They're just a team that feel like big changes are coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while now that Brandon Staley hasn't really looked like he's in control. I mean, it's just, there's so many, it feels like poor decision making, you know, year in and year out. And as repetitive as it gets, and I'm sure it's actually boring for Chargers fans, I have to ask Ash, but the phrase "Chargers gonna charger" it will never not be true. And this franchise is just a mess. And I don't know if it will just take one head coach who's just going to come in and fix it all, or maybe this is just the DNA of the franchise and they are cursed until eternity.
Maybe it's where Belichick goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to fix up job after the Patriots,
get that record, you know, all that.
I mean, that's the thing. It feels sort of like so clearly a mentality thing, and they've just got to turn that around. They've got all the players, like you said. It's just something is off, and you know, they just need someone to point them in the right direction, I think. And I personally just don't think Staley is that guy. I don't think.
No, I agree. I
haven't thought so for a while now. He's just, he hasn't really done much to prove to me that he's, I mean, not that he's trying to prove it to me, but, you know, from my perspective, I don't think he's done a great job there.
Well, I don't, as we saw,
with what he's got.
But as we saw from Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, they listen to our podcast, you know, all these players. They,
they're very heavily influenced by it. Of what we say.
Exactly. When we speak, they listen. So, you know.
Well, yeah, but clearly,
maybe he's listening for you.
Well, yeah, maybe that is it, because I came out in support of Brock Purdy. He had the worst game of his life, and against Mac Jones, and he had the best game of his life.
Yeah, no one wants to impress you. That's it. No one wants to impress you.
That is exactly. They're all out to get me to prove me wrong. That is.
Unfortunately, that includes your own team.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's, well, to be fair, I was picking them to lose every week, and they were managing to do that. So
that is true.
They have at least done me right there. Move on to what we thought was going to be, I mean, just an absolute spectacle, Eagles and the Dolphins. Turn out to be, I mean, pretty comfortable win. This Eagles run defense just absolutely smothered what has been one of the best running offenses all season. Miles, I mean, was that pretty much where the game was won and lost for you?
I think... Like, I mean, I know they're missing Devon Achan, but I don't know. It just felt like, yeah, they couldn't get the ground game going, which, I mean, it didn't really slow down Tyreek Hill, did it? He still popped off and 11 catches for 88 yards. But, yeah, it just felt like there was not enough space to run behind, and the Eagles just... I mean, the Eagles, yeah, defensively, I think they were just solid all around, and... Yeah, I just, Darius Slay got his pick, and yeah, I just feel like the Eagles managed the game brilliantly. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts, yay, threw a pick, but almost 300 yards, two touchdowns. Swift ran for over 60 yards, and then AJ Brown did what AJ Brown does. I think he's got a record now, most games with 125 plus yards or something like that, or consecutive, whatever, I don't know, 125 yards and a touchdown, something like that. But yeah, and then, yeah. Just think the Eagles, that loss against the Jets was such a blip, because they've just completely like turned it around. Like, it was a bad day at the office, that was, whereas this is just business as usual. They're handling a team like the Dolphins with relative ease, and I think that speaks volumes about them going forward.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is that when you play a team like Miami, you've got that running game. They just stopped it early. I mean, obviously, minus 8 rushing yards after the first quarter, and it's mental stat for like a team who's just ran it so easily for everyone. Yeah. And it did almost look like, you know, whenever they did drop back and pass, the defensive backs were running scared. They were going so deep just to make sure Tyreek Hill couldn't get past them. But yeah, I guess just couldn't take advantage of it. It's pretty well managed, to be fair, from the Eagles' defense to be able to contain Tyreek and also just completely stop the run game dead in its tracks. And it's very impressive performance from them. We'll move on to last night's game. We had the Vikings beating the 49ers. I talked about freak results like the Jets beating the Eagles. This feels like something similar in that sort of vein. I mean, obviously, I don't think anyone expected this. We just mentioned, you know, Brock Purdy having one of the worst games of his life. Dave, is that how you saw it? Was it, I mean, obviously, they've got quite a few injuries, and maybe that is all it is, that Brock Purdy's got to do a little bit too much now. Is that where the problems are?
Yeah, I think so. It feels like, sort of what we said last week, it feels like if it's not perfect for Purdy,
I'm not sure he's
going to like raise anyone's game, but you know, if it's there in front of him, he's going to get it done. And like, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, other than obviously the rest of the team around him has to be basically perfect. But I think the Vikings just played really well here. It was, you know, it's pretty clear that Justin Jefferson's been holding them back all this time. It's you know, like Hockenson looked great, Addison looked fantastic. I thought he looked like, it's obviously his best game so far, but he looked great. You know, they just, I don't know what happened. It was weird, but like, it just felt like the 49ers defense wasn't great. You know, they weren't getting the pressure that we sort of expect them to get on Cousins. Like, I didn't feel like Cousins played that much different to me, but you know, it just felt like he, you know, we're used to this sort of 49ers defense really putting, you know, the opposing quarterback under a lot of pressure. And it didn't feel like they ever really did that last night. But yeah, I think on Purdy, I don't think this really changes anything about him. The only thing it might do is these last couple of games might, you know, maybe if Kirk Cousins is available next year, Shanahan's sort of been linked with him for years and years, then maybe the Vikings do, the 49ers do look towards someone like Cousins if he is available, because he is sort of probably Brock Purdy. You know, if Brock Purdy really works out well, you know, he maybe can become Cousins, where the odd time Cousins is going to do a little bit more to sort of win you a game than Purdy has. But I don't know. I don't think this changes much for the 49ers, but the chances are they're not going to go into the playoffs and the Super Bowl if they get there completely healthy. And if they're not that, then do they just not work? And maybe they don't. You know, McCaffrey coming off that injury was fine, but he scored the touchdown. But he wasn't his usual self, clearly.
Yeah.
He still scored that. Both of their touchdowns.
Yeah, of course. But he wasn't the same player, was he? I think, you know,
3 yards per carry. That's not him. Like, that's not what. That's, yeah.
No, and maybe part of that's on Trent Williams being out as well. You know, it's just, I don't know. This is a really unexpected game, but I think we said basically every preview, you know, the Vikings are a really good home team. They haven't all shown it so much this season, but since they've built that stadium, it's been one of the hardest places to go in the whole NFL. And, you know, maybe the Vikings are a better team than we're maybe given credit for just because of last season and how this season started. But I don't know. I think it probably was down to the injuries of the 49ers, but that is worrying in itself because, you know, they're probably going to have injuries. Then the chances are they're not going to get through this season unscathed.
It's the NFL. You can't. Yeah. You know, you can't.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work without them players, then it's a struggle, but I don't think it changes much for this season, but it might change their off-season plans a little bit. As I said, I think maybe Kirk Cousins, you know, he wouldn't stun me if he's a 49er next year. You know, even like this year, there was talk that, oh, could they go after Tom Brady? Obviously, he retired in the end, but it was, you know, there was talk, like legitimate talk, that the 49ers could go after him. It's so to me, that says they're not necessarily 100% sold on Purdy, but he started off the season well, and last night he was fine. You know, it wasn't awful, but I say he's never going to raise a team, and that's the problem with having a quarterback like that. If everyone else isn't going great, then
yeah,
you know, it's a struggle to expect him to do too much. So yeah, I don't think the 49ers are going to be too worried about, you know, the rest of the season and where they're at, but that it is probably worrying. But just on their real sort of upside, you know, 2 weeks ago it felt like they were unbeatable. So it's not like two games should change too much for that, but you know, maybe the Vikings are just a better team and the 49ers aren't quite as good as maybe we thought. But yeah, it's a pretty good game though. It was quite an enjoyable game in the end, which isn't always the case in these Monday night games, I don't think. But yeah, this was quite a fun game.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Brock Purdy, that screen pass to McCaffrey though was an absolute dime. But it's interesting you mentioned that home record for the Vikings. It's like everyone talks about Lambeau Field being this amazing home field advantage because of how cold it is. The Vikings have gone inside and all of a sudden they've started winning way more. Maybe the whole Lambeau Field myth is just a load of bollocks.
They just had really good quarterbacks for a long time. Maybe that's why it's hard to win there.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
But yeah, just have a good team, and then your like home field is like a fortress. Weirdly, we were a lot better when Brady was playing than we have been since then at home. It's strange.
Yeah, it is funny the amount of other things people talk about. Oh, home field advantage. Oh, they only win on Monday Night Football. Kind of stuff. It's like maybe just like build a good football team. That'll probably help you win. That just about wraps up week 7 review. Dave, you got any parting words for us?
Well done, Matt Jones. I can't really slag him off this week, can I? You know, I think I've got to be fair. I'll get back to that next week, probably.
Look forward to it. And Miles, any parting words?
I'm going to plug last week's podcast and be like, hey, listen to the segment where we talked about Mac Jones and Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Because
it's happened. Like, Brock Purdy, he didn't have a perfect scenario and lost again. So, you know, again, I don't hate the guy. I like him. I got him in fantasy and all that. But just something to think about when you're...
I'm just going to say, wait until the end of the season.
I am going to wait until the end of this. I'm just saying that in the two examples we've had of him being under pressure, he's buckled. So,
I was going to say wait until the end of the season to listen to last week. So go back and listen.
No.
Listen
once
every week.
You've had a larger sample size.
Just listen every week.
You've seen the Brock Purdy. Yeah, listen to that episode every
listen
single
every,
week
yeah,
to make but... sure. See who was on.
Stroke my ego and listen now last week so that I can be right 100% of the time. That's what you should do. Just as a good listener, as a loyal listener, that's what you should do.
As I said earlier, Brock Purdy's just had the worst game of his career. Mac Jones just had the best. Maybe let's let things balance out a bit. Then we'll sort of see how that argument pans out. But yeah, as I said, you know, feel free to go back and listen to it. But just, you know, keep in mind, it's 1 week. Brock Purdy will recover. I'm
actually
sure.
Two, but yeah.
And Mac Jones will crumble. That those two things are certain.
Yeah, but we've never rated Mac Jones. That's the point.
But this is. Okay, let's not get into it. We've got
football to watch, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. We've got the other kind of football to watch. Follow us at first and 10 _, and we'll see you next week.